do we have our being. In Him is where I found a love that's greater than life itself. In Him is where I find a peace that passes all understanding. In Him is where I find the joy that makes life worth living. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you for saying. Before you're seated, why don't you turn to a few folks and greet them. Give them a big smile. Tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday evening.
Thank you. Happy to see you.
As you return to your seats, there will be no youth class tonight. Many of our young people and youth pastor Brother Tom are headed to, actually probably close to being there. They left about 5 o'clock this afternoon, headed to Springfield to be a part of the Illinois Youth Convention. And so when we go to prayer just here in a few moments, we certainly want to remember that group in prayer, that God would keep His hand upon them, not only for their protection and travel, but that they would be blessed and have a wonderful time at the convention there in Springfield, happening tonight, tomorrow, and Friday, and then they'll be traveling home on Saturday. I do want to remind you this Saturday is small group session, so those of you that have signed up to be a part of that, please be reminded that that is happening. Hopefully those that are hosting have contacted those in their group and let them know what time they're expecting everybody. I know that my group has done that because I got a call, and so we're just looking forward to getting together for our small group sessions on this coming Saturday evening. And then, of course, Sunday, a very special Sunday service, Easter Sunday. Not only will we celebrate the resurrection in our service time together, we'll have some special programs from the Children's Ministry Department. And then after the service, we will have an Easter egg hunt for all the little kids and those that are kid at heart, I guess. And so we still need you, if you have yet to bring a bag of individually wrapped candy, we still need you to do that. We are going to be stuffing those eggs. I say we as if I have a mouse in my pocket. But there are those that are going to be stuffing the eggs. I mean, if they need help, I'll come help them. But they need more bags of candy to stuff the eggs so that we have enough eggs to hide for the little ones that will be here on Easter Sunday. Please be reminded there will not be a PM service on this Sunday, which is something that we have done for years with the Easter service. We have the Sunday morning, but not the Sunday night service, so we do want to remind you of that. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer and ask you to remember the young people again. As we mentioned earlier, they're traveling there to Springfield and their time together. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make mention? Slip up your hand, Sister Dee. All right, name's Reba. Do you know the family name by any chance? Kunis? Okay. All right, let's remember them. Parishes County, I saw your hand. All right. Certainly. So remember Seth and them, certainly. Sister Darling. All right. In Jesus' name. Saw some hands over here. All right, remember Tony in prayer, Sister Doris. All right. Certainly. Let's remember. Let's remember Keith Atkins in prayer. Certainly, Sister Phillips. Yes, yes. Please remember them in prayer. Just a lot going on in that family. Certainly, use your prayer. Sister Michelle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand? Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Kelly. All right. All right. Let's remember that in prayer. Can we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Dear Jesus, Lord, we love you. Yeah, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise that is so due your name. Lord, we bring these requests before you, knowing that you have all power in heaven and earth. God, we ask that you would use us as vessels, as ministers, God, of your choosing, God, to reach in hearts and lives with the power of your spoken word, God, being used by you, God, being ushered by your spirit, God, to speak words of faith, God, stretch forth our hands to heal, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you work through us and in us, God, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, God. Let us do, God, your will, God, in and among the people around about us, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to know you, God, to see your work take place, whether it be healing in the body, God, whether it be healing of the mind, God, restoration. We give you praise, God, for your work in the life of those, God, that have turned to you, God, and seen you work miracles in them. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In your name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. We serve a great God. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The last time that we had the privilege of having her family here, I, in passing, mentioned, and I don't know that she remembered that I mentioned it, but I mentioned that I would love to have my mother-in-law give her testimony. And from that point, I began to think, well, you know what? My father-in-law has a pretty awesome testimony as well. Neither one of them grew up in the faith. They both came to the apostolic faith later on in life. And trust me, I'm not asking them to, you know, divulge any details they don't want to divulge about their past. But the Bible tells us that we are made overcomers by the blood and the word of our testimony. And what I do believe is that some of their story and their testimony will resonate in your heart and in your life. And you will know that God brings people from all different walks of life. God can save to the uttermost. God can take anybody from anywhere. He can take our trash and turn it into treasure. I'll say this. I did not know them before they came to the Lord. So the only them I know essentially is the them in the Lord. But I do feel this in the Holy Ghost. I do feel that their testimony, though it will be much different some than some, it will be a lot like others. And so I asked both of them, I said, I just want you to take your liberty. They said, well, what's our time frame? I said, well, I'm giving you the whole speaking portion of Wednesday night, so take your liberty. I didn't say this, but if y'all feel like making an altar call, make an altar call. It's all good. But I know that they were going back and forth as to which one's going first, so I don't even know. But whoever's looks like the discussion is ongoing. I want you to know that I truly Love this couple. They are wonderful, wonderful people of God. And they love the Lord, and they love family. And they love the things of God, the people of God. And if you spend any time around them at all, you know their sincerity speaks for itself in their love for God, the things of God, and the people of God. And so without further ado, I just want them to come and take their liberty and give their testimony about where God has brought them from and what God has done and is doing in their lives. So I guess, Popums, you're up first.
I guess I got elected. When he asked about us giving our testimonies, my wife has given hers another time, another event, and I have actually never given my testimony in this fashion. So if you guys just bear with me here as I walk through it, I don't know how far to go through it. And I had to think about it. How far back do I go and stuff? But so I'll give you a brief foundation. As I was growing up, I don't remember a whole lot about us going to church when I was younger. When I was around 8 years old, we had moved to Tynesville, and we went to a church, but, you know, it was definitely not an apostolic church, and my parents were, you know, we just went to church, basically. You know, people go to church, and people love the church, you know, so we just went to church. When I was 15 years old, we moved, and we left church. We were no longer in church any longer and stuff, so at that time, you know, different things in school and stuff, I started getting a little rebellious when I got around 17 years old. Got in some little trouble there and ended up in the Navy from some of my troubles, you know. And anyway, went to Navy, and then when I got out of the Navy, the reason I went to Navy is because a young lady in high school, we got together and out of wedlock and had a child. So that's how I reason. So we make some bad choices when we're young in school, and then those choices continue on the rest of our lives. And so went to the Navy, and then when I got out of the Navy, I got married again. Neither one of us were in church. Just for probably around 6 years, I run sound for rock bands, experienced a lot of, let's be frank, you know, rock bands. You can figure when running sound for rock bands, you know, all the above. Is involved in that, you know, the drugs and alcohol and different things. And as life went on there, we had Shanna, our daughter, and when she was a baby, I started thinking, you know, I need to go to church. You know, we need to go to church. So I had that drawing, you know, that I needed to go to church, you know, and children are bringing that to your mind. And so I started, you know, so I said, we need to go to church. Well, she had been raised Catholic, and that's the only church that she would go to. So we went to a Catholic church for probably 16 years. So that's all because I used to think, well, they're probably pretty much all basically the same, as long as they have the core beliefs, which I now know, and we all know, is totally wrong. So anyway, through that time period, his daughter got up to about 16 years old. About 3 years prior to that, you know, when you talk about alcohol, she had gotten a real problem with alcohol. I mean, I drank also, but it was a real, real problem. Her father also died at the age of 50 years old from alcoholism, from cirrhosis of the liver. Anyway, so she got to have a real problem, and so it was a really tough time trying to figure out which way do you go. You know, you try to go to counseling yourself. I went to counseling myself, trying to figure out what I do. And so, and see if there's something I could do, or there's something I'm doing wrong. You know, I think a lot of us do that. We start thinking, is it me? Did I do something wrong? Did I facilitate this? Am I enabling this? And what am I doing? And it turned out it really was nothing I was really doing. It's a choice a person makes. And we have to and through this whole time frame, I learned that you can't change people. They have to want to change themselves. And so until a person's ready to change, there's nothing that can happen. So I ended up giving her an ultimatum, you know, whether to go to rehab or something of that nature. And she rejected it. So me and my daughter moved out. You know, you got to fulfill that. You got to go through with that. And so that was the hardest choice that I had to make, because I was losing my family anyway, and so I was trying to salvage what I could. And so we moved out, thinking that things would change, and kept going. And about 4 months later, my daughter was dating a young man, and he invited her to go to church, and he wanted to witness his baptism. And she came up and asked me what I thought about it. And I'm like, when did Eddie start going to church? I didn't even know that he started going to church. And, you know, I look back now and you see the fingerprints of God all over it. You know, unknowing to myself, I didn't see it because when I moved out, it was the hardest thing I ever did. It just ripped my heart out. And I remember being out in the middle of a field just crying out, how do we get here? How does this happen? And, you know, it's just, you know, you're 22 years of marriage. You don't understand, you know, it was like, how do we get here? And so anyway, we went down to the church, you know, got the directions and stuff, went down to this church. And it's down in Longwood. And went down there, never been there before, about 45-minute drive. Went down there. Yes, that's where my wife was. Although I didn't know that was going to be my wife at all. We went down there in the first service. We went there and witnessed the baptism. But during the worship service, at the very beginning of the service, my daughter stands up and she starts singing and praising the Lord. She'd never been at church in her life. All she ever been is a Catholic church. Actually hit me in the shoulder and it's like, Dad. You know, I was like, whoa, you know. So obviously her sensitivity to God, the Holy Ghost is moving on her immediately. In the third service that we went to, obviously we kept going back. Went back to the third service we went to. She got prayed through to the Holy Ghost and got the Holy Ghost. And Shannon is the one that was praying with her when she got the Holy Ghost. Little did I ever know that she would be my stepdaughter. I remember, I'm sorry, you can go over the plane. I just remember Shannon in right in front of her. I'm sorry. Anyway, so she got the Holy Ghost. And I remember while she was praying, and we were in the pews, and I was standing right next to her when God, you know, was moving on her and stuff. And I remember praying to myself right then, God, take her. She's yours. God is so awesome. And he did. And he has blessed her tremendously by giving her to God right there. Little did I know what I was truly doing, that the power of a father with the Lord and presenting her to God right there. I didn't know, truly understand what I was doing. But God has taken her. She is now married to a minister herself, and her and her husband are pastoring a church in Jacksonville. You know, how would I ever, you know. And so I continued to seek the Lord myself. You know, she got the Holy Ghost. I'm like, I want this. You know, and I sought the Lord and kept seeking the Lord. And you have to be careful if anybody here doesn't have the Holy Ghost, because it'll happen. I sought it so hard. I went to every service, every youth service. I mean, I went to everything outside of church, in the church. And I kept seeking it. I wanted it so bad to the point I almost like, okay, I'm going to make this happen. You can't make it happen. And in that time frame, I messed up and kind of messed around there. And all of a sudden, they told me I had the Holy Ghost. But I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I'd sit there and I thought, okay. And then when the pastor announced it to the church that I had the Holy Ghost, it's like it cut me like a knife. And the devil jumped on my back. And I thought I was going to hell. I thought I'd lied. I had falsified this, and there was no hope for me. And I truly, you know, I don't think I've ever really told this any, very few people know this. But it's important to know that the devil is an accuser, and he will try to crush you if he can. And so I talked to the pastor about it and stuff, and he said, just, it's okay, we'll just leave it like it is. Just take a breath, relax, you'll get it. And praise God. And a little bit, not too long after that, I finally backed up, relaxed, just started falling for God, and God blessed me with His Spirit and filled me with the Holy Ghost. In fact, I was dancing around. It's in the morning. I was dancing around in an apartment. My daughter looked out the door and like, wondering what was wrong with me. And I was just gone. I didn't know where I was going. It was awesome. God has blessed us so incredibly, and it's just, and so that's a real thing with mine now. Of mine now, I never tell anybody they got the Holy Ghost. Never tell somebody they got the Holy Ghost. Let them tell you, because that's important. Because that enemy, he'll jump on them instantly, and he will try his best to convince them there's no hope for them, and there's no place for them to go. And as time went, you know, God has showed me so many different things. It's just I'd be here for hours talking about all the wonderful things God has done. But we have 4 years. I went 4 years seeking the will of God, seeking if, you know, whether to be married. I told God, you know, if it's not your will for me to be married, then I won't, you know, then I'll be, you know, it's your will and I'll stay single. But, I, you know, God, I would like to be married and stuff. And he knows your heart. Little did I know that and 4 years later, never dated or anything. And there's a whole story behind that, and I won't go into that. But ended up blessing me with a wonderful woman, and he knows exactly what I needed. And she is, and she's been such a blessing, and she motivates me, stays after me all the time, and stuff. And I've ended up with such an incredible family. I just can't even, you know, it's, you know, awesome. Thank you.
Oh no, my wife's leaving the building. I said that sometime after coming back from down in Florida, and I mentioned this to my wife, and I don't think I ever said anything to either of you. I said it to the church. I said, you know, while I was down there, and I was enjoying the fishing and the riding the four-wheeler and the big piece of land that is down there we affectionately call the ranch. I didn't know, though God, and the Bible talks about God giving you the desires of your heart. And I understand, I'm not saying that in the sense of, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. That's not what I'm referring to. But I've since a young boy, I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I've always enjoyed fishing and being outside and just being with God's creation, being out in nature. And I told my wife, I said, little did I know, because when my wife and I started dating, Craig and Barbie were not together at that time. And so I had no idea that Craig would become my father-in-law, that Craig and Barbie would become married and all of us would be connected via family. And after I came back, I told the church, I said, you know, as I was out there on the property and fishing and doing all those things, I said, you know what? God does work amazing ways. Because I had no idea that, and obviously I love my wife for many more reasons other than that we're now connected to Craig Abney and we get to go out on the ranch. I mean, obviously that's just icing on the cake, if you will. But it's so amazing how that God brings people together, and how that I know when you mention Shanna, I know many of you have met Brian and Shanna. They've been here with us. How that my wife and I, our first date was a double date, and the other individual was Shanna, which was Craig's daughter. It was another guy that thankfully she did not end up marrying. According to Brother Abney, but it's just amazing how God orchestrates and how God brings things together, and now we're family, and now we get along really good. We haven't gotten in a fight. Well, most of us haven't gotten. I'm just kidding. Throughout this whole week, it's been a great week. It's great when you can get together with family and there's no tension, and you can just you can enjoy one another's company. And we've just had a wonderful time. And Mom, she's got notes, so she's just gonna take it on home. And if she makes an altar call, y'all just respond and flood the altars. But I want Mom to come and give her testimony.
I don't know. I think my husband did a great job. I first want to say that what you see right here is a totally different story. Totally different story than when I was 25 years old. I don't think you would be seeing any of family in church because we knew nothing. You know, they didn't know nothing. I knew nothing. I was as well taken to the Methodist church, you know, when I was younger. But I'm going to start by telling you some of my childhood, and I don't tell you that because I want a pity party, because I haven't had a pity party since I was 25. I've had a Holy Ghost party. Thank God. But before that, I did. I had a lot of stuff in my life. I'm going to start by when I was a little girl. I lived in New Jersey. I was born in New Jersey. And I remember leaving New Jersey at 6 years old, thinking, oh, we're moving to Florida. This is going to be great. Everything's going to be better. Because all I remembered at 6 years old was my home was falling apart. I remember coming home from kindergarten. I remember seeing we had storm doors, and they were glass. And I remember there being a crack in the door, and I didn't know why. All I heard was the neighbors were talking about my mom hit her fist through the door, you know, and that there was all kinds of things going on. So I remember this move to Florida. We pulled up into this neighborhood that was this great neighborhood. It was called Tuscaloosa. It was all, you know, wealthy people and, you know, all this, you know, great stuff. Oh, it's going to be great. The only bad thing were we were swarmed by love bugs. I mean, swarmed. Back in the 70s, I thought, oh, my goodness, and dragonflies, something I had never seen in Jersey. So as a six-year-old, those were the only fears at that time. I thought everything was going to be great. I can tell you that that was par from the course. We had a lot of problems. My mother, I grew up with my mom being basically on antidepressants and, you know, a very, very unstable lady. And my father was an alcoholic. My father died at 47 years old in a store that he frequented all the time to get his beer. He died in that store. He went in and opened the cooler to get his beer and turned around and fell down right there. The things that I remember of my father were cigarette burns in the table next to his bed because he would smoke while he was sleeping. And I would lay down at night scared to death that our house was going to be on fire. I don't remember my parents ever being asking me for a report card. I cannot imagine that. I'm telling you this today because there are people, there are children, there are all kinds of me's out there. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to say much about me, but my daughters are very attractive. I was very attractive. But that does not get you anywhere. When you have all this stuff inside, what we look like does not matter. It's what's going on in here. So when you see people in your office, they might look great, but there's a lot going on in them. And so believe me, this is all to tell you about the goodness of our God. Anyhow, so life, you know, went on, and my parents, they divorced before my father passed away. And then I did marry. I married very young, and I was only married for 1 month, and this young fella got hit by a car. Yes, he lived in a coma for 8 days, and he died. So then I got married to my children's father. And I know that my children's father could probably tell you their own stories. It was rough. It was really rough. I had all three of my children by 23. That tells you how busy I was. I was very busy. I had all three of them at 23 years old. And I started really thinking about my life. I was just like, you know, I don't want a life like I lived for my children. I want things to be different. You know, so I tried to be better, you know. Let me go back to, in the process of all this, I picked up cigarettes at 12 years old. 12. I was addicted to cigarettes by the time I was 13. I smoked 2 packs a day. And truthfully, didn't even think much about it when I was pregnant. Isn't that awful? But I am trying to paint a picture of me, what I was. This was what I was without God. I don't stand up here giving myself any credit, because even till this day, it would only be the Lord's saving grace. Anyhow, so I smoked everything my parents did. You know, here you think you hate all those things that they do, and you end up picking up the very same things. And this is why we see children nowadays acting just like the homes that they live in. And I teach 21 kindergartners, and I see every walk of life. But I do not stand in judgment, because there go I, if it had not been for the grace of God. Anyhow, so I had my three kids, and I started wanting a change in my life. And so at this point, we had some family members. They were actually in their dad's side, and it was his brother. He gave me a Bible study, and I finally went to church. And I, from that point on, when I finally came to church and came to know the truth and the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Ghost, I never picked up another cigarette. I never looked back. I never lived a day with depression, ever. Not for all these years I have lived a happy life. I had so many more issues. I was talking with my girls about how many times I had to move with their dad because he couldn't pay the rent. It was 9 times. I added it up. 9 times in 3 years we moved. But when I came to the knowledge of Jesus, you cannot imagine how he went before us and changed my life. I cannot explain to you the contentment in my life. All those insecurities, all those things, moving in itself became a frightening experience for me. I didn't want to move anymore, because every time I moved, even as that little girl, moving to Florida, moving here, they were horrible experiences. They never turned out good. But this was the greatest move I've ever made. God has given me such contentment, such happiness. I don't look to this world for the things to make me happy. Even though he is a great blessing, he does not measure up to what God has done for me. Not hold a candle to it. My children, my grandchildren, everybody knows how much I love them. I could live without those things. I really could, even though they mean so much to me. I could not live without him. I lived life without him. I don't ever want to be in that darkness again. I told my children, I said, I don't know how to explain it to you, but when you have never had God and you go from darkness to light, it's like, wow, how did I ever live there? And you want to give that to others. You want to share that with other people. You want them to know what God did for you and what he can do for them. God is good to us. He's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. God, I thank you so much for your loving power, Lord. Let's just stand right now and give him all the glory. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for a testimony of your saving power and your grace, Lord. God, we lift you up, Jesus. I thank you for my children that serve you, Lord. God, it's my greatest, greatest joy, Lord, to see them serving you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to end up with this and say that God, the greatest thing right now that I could do for God is to serve him, to give this to others. I'm not going to stand and hold this in. I'm going to share this with others. The next greatest joy is my husband and the blessing. I have to tell you, God sent him to Longwood for me. Amen. He sent him. If you only knew, when I went through that our divorce for 21 years of living with the hope that things would change, and they did not change. I had to let go of that. And I don't advocate divorce because it's not the perfect will of God. It's not. He and I both know that. But he can take a mess, and turn it around. And he brought him to Longwood for me. If you have a need today, God sees that need. He knows right where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he can meet that need. The longings of your heart, Nate said it, he will give you the desires of your heart. He knew I had had all those years of struggle and things, but I had decided that I was going to live for Jesus, and no matter what, if I would never marry again, I was going to be content. I was going to be happy because God had done a great work for me. And I'm sorry, I'm taking over here, but God is good. He's good to us all the time. And I thank the Lord for him.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I've shared this before, but this song, since my mom was talking to me a little bit this morning before I had to go to work, and I was thinking about, you know, a lot of times people use their past and use what they went through as excuses of why they continue in the same behavior. And that is one of the biggest things I respect about my mom, because that her version was a very slimmed down, very not detailed version of what she went through. Because I look at her in amazement. And she, when I was going through my 15-year-old times, I've shared with you many times, she would come and put scriptures in my locker. She'd slip them during the day and slip them in my locker. And these words I've hid in my heart. Fear thou not, for I am thy God. Be not dismayed, for I am with thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Cast all your cares upon him. All these different scriptures that she left when I was going through a hard time. She's just a rock. She is. But you don't know what she's gone through. And we don't know what you've gone through. But like she said, there are other Barbies, there are other Shannons, there are other Connies, there are other Rachels, there are other, all these other people that are hurting and that are crying out. And this song talks about, where would I be? Because I know if that woman didn't find God, I do not want to know where I would be. It would be ugly. I would not have Austin. I would not have Kinsley. I would not have Landon. And I would not have my husband. You would not have me. It would be a very, very different life for me, for my sister and my brother, if she had not found an altar of repentance. And I'm so grateful. Let's sing this song together.
You won't.
Hopeless case, and then
grace, where would I be?
You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love. A hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace.
Amazing grace.
He knows every soul.
How sweet the
sound. We all stand here tonight with different experiences, different encounters. Your story is different from my story. But Jesus knows each and every one.
A hopeless case.
And he loves you so much.
An empty place.
He died for you.
If not for grace.
He gave his blood.
Amazing grace.
To redeem you.
How sweet.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I once was lost. But now I'm.
A hopeless chase, just an empty place. If not for grace, where would I be?
You only know. I'm glad you see with eyes of love. Oh, hopeless case,
just an empty place. If not for grace, would you sing it with me one more time?
Would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love. A hopeless case.
If not for grace, a hopeless case, just an empty place, if not for grace.
Why don't you lift your hands all over this house? Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your mercy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm so much further from where I was. I thank you that you're still leading me. You're still guiding me.
Huh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone.
Set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love,
such amazing grace.
I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love.
It's amazing grace. My chains are gone.
Set free, my God, my Savior. has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace, unending love. Amazing grace.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. Hallelujah. My mother-in-law and father-in-law are living proof. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. We serve such an amazing God. Huh. See, I'm family, and so I don't just get the G-rated version. I don't say that to poke fun. I know that there's a certain level of comfortability to talk certain details, but even what little I know in the sense of the stories of their life, I can look an amazing man and woman and say they are product of an amazing God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can we lift our hands, lift our voices? Thank you, Jesus. Let me share my testimony with someone else. Little do I know how much my testimony may speak to their heart and to their life. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday evening midweek service. Thank you so much for giving your testimonies. Thank you, Jesus, for the work that you do. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Basically, some kind of weird dough.